on today's Run to the Top podcast.
I find the more you're running, switching between a couple shoes helps. So if you're marathon training, having a shoe wear on your long run and the next run you do, I think it feels good to have something else on your feet, just that your foot is in a little different position. And that's a good way too, to try out new shoes without dedicating yourself to it and maybe getting an injury from being something that you shouldn't be in.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Stephanie K. Atwood.
Welcome. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, Boston Marathon qualifier, coach, and host for the Run to the Top podcast. On today's episode, we are talking with Ross Martinson from the Philadelphia Runner Stores. Ross will share several of his favorite running shoes of 2019, from road training shoes to trail running, from road racing to ultra racing, and a couple of Ross's personal favorites. Ross has a wealth of knowledge and can help you determine what shoe might be best for you this year. Before we get on with the interview, however, we'll take a brief break for a special invitation from Runners Connect. Do you need a crash course to help you train smarter, nail your nutrition, and improve your strength? Or maybe you want to connect with runners who get you? Then tune in later in the episode as I tell you a little bit more about our amazing four-day running retreats. If you want to learn more now, you can visit runnersconnect.net/retreats. Welcome back to Run to the Top podcast with me, your host, Stephanie K. Atwood, and our special guest, Ross Martinson, with Philadelphia Runner Stores, who will be sharing several of his favorite shoes in 2019. Welcome, Ross.
Thanks for having me, Stephanie.
Ross Martin is owner of four Philadelphia runner shops. Not surprisingly, they are in Philadelphia. And he's head coach of Team Philly Race Training, where he has helped hundreds of runners from true beginners to Boston qualifiers. He started running as a freshman in high school, where he remembers being dropped on his first run. It was the camaraderie that helped him keep coming out. He steadily improved through high school and at St. Joseph's University, where he first started working in a run specialty store. Competitive running continued into his 30s and was highlighted by a top 25 finish at the Boston Marathon. That's impressive. Ross has been fitting runners in all types of shoes since the 90s and at his own Philadelphia runner stores for the past 15 years. He thinks the last few years have been some of the most exciting for shoe design. I agree. So before we get into the shoe thing, let's start with the four basics, Ross. Current age, where were you born? Where do you currently live? And what is your favorite race distance or type of race?
Sure. I am 41, which puts me in the part of that master's running category that I always used to think was nonsense, but now I'm happy to look forward to kind of racing again. And really look forward to club cross country at the end of the year. I was born in Philadelphia, and the hospital I was born in is actually a dorm at the college I went to. So I didn't really make it very far, I guess. So I live in Conshohocken now, just outside the city of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. My favorite distance when I was really racing was always 10 miles. I think I liked the marathon, but I wasn't quite as good at it, and took a lot more out of you. I felt like 10 miles was a really good challenge. You could really push yourself without worrying about maybe getting injured as much.
And what was your best time, Ross, in 10 miles? Best ever?
Just under 49 minutes, so 48:58.
Wow.
So, but I love the marathon. I actually signed my wife up for Boston so I could go up and watch this year. So
nice.
I'm riding her coattails, I guess. So.
All right. 10 miles is a good distance, but it's a hard distance. It's still in that range where kind of like a long tempo run rather than a half marathon or specifically a marathon for sure.
Yeah, we're lucky here. It's grown to 45,000 people or so, but it's super fast. I always thought of it as like a long 10K. So
yeah, exactly.
Very fun to run.
Yeah. What was I going to say about Boston coming up. So are you running or are you just looking this year, watching?
I'll be just watching this year, but haven't wanted to do a marathon in a while. It kind of makes me want to maybe I should do one again and try to go back. But
now you finished 25th overall in Boston. So tell us what it took for you to get to that place, because it sounds like you didn't start off thinking you were, actually kind of seeing that maybe you weren't immediately a talented runner. So what did it take?
I was definitely not. I've had to change the story. I used to tell that I got dropped by the women's team on the first run. But it turns out one of the women on the team was later an Olympian, was Shane Wiley, now Shane Culpepper. So
wow.
maybe I was running with two. I was really lucky to just continually kind of every year got better, stayed healthy for a long time. And so kind of got better, walked on to the team at St. Joseph's University. And again, continued to improve every year. Working at a run specialty store, ended up being like surrounded by people who, like, you know, the guys on the track team liked running, but it was also seen as kind of hard work.
Right.
And when you got to the running store, everybody was, you know, running just because they loved it, and and running so much more. And it really, I feel like I learned a lot there. And then, always ended up running into having a great college coach. And then after college, store owner I worked with was a great mentor running. And also my business partner's brother is Terrence Mahan, who later coached Dina Castor. Ryan Hall is one of the greatest coaches around now. So I did a lot of running with him, and show up Tuesday mornings and he'd tell us what our workout was, and it was a good process to get better. And
indeed. Well, what was your time at Boston to be able to finish 25th? That had to be pretty good.
Right. So I finished, I was 23rd, and I was 2:23:50, I think. I should be able to remember the seconds. It's my marathon PR, 2:23:42. And that was a year into the Nor'easter. So I think 2:14 won that year.
Wow. Wow.
And so
congratulations. Now, out of curiosity, what shoes were you wearing? Do you remember?
So I was wearing Brooks Racer ST, which was they've stopped making finally. They made, I'm going to say, 7 or 8 versions, and I don't think they really changed it on any of the versions. Sometimes the color changed, but it was a great shoe. I think that wasn't that long ago, by today's standards, it was almost a training shoe. It wasn't, the weights have come down so much that people would be like, oh, even by the end of that shoe's life cycle, I think it was seen as like a heavy shoe for a trainer, but I thought it was great for marathons. I did a number of marathons in them.
Yeah. That's definitely a decision that is one to make in a marathon, is, how light can you go and still have feet that can survive the pounding for 26.2 miles.
Right. I made that mistake once, wore too light of a shoe, and it felt good while I felt good. But when the marathon, after 20, when it got hard, I was cursing the shoes and my arches were killing me.
Understood. I think a lot of us have gone through that process. Yeah. So tell us about Philadelphia Runner Stores and how you got involved with them, or how, if you started them, and then we'll move into shoes after this.
Sure. So I had worked at Brimmer Running Company, which is just outside the city, in college, and then returned to work there after college. And a friend of mine who I'd run with in college was had the idea of starting up a store in the city. There wasn't a real run specialty store there at the time. And we kind of saw a need for there to be we'd hoped we'd be a hub for runners in the city. Mm-hmm. Times have changed so much since then. I know when we opened, there were two running clubs, and or there were three, but only two of them actually ever met, I think. And now, through social media, there's clubs for beer runners clubs and all sorts of things. I think there's 38 or 39 in the city.
Right.
Who are all very friendly. So it's been interesting to see the rise of running culture in the city, and And we've been really lucky to be a part of that.
And you started in 2003?
2004.
2004. Okay. Yep. Okay. Well, then let's move on to shoes because that's what this is about. And shoes are such, well, shoes are really just a hot topic in general. And I know in the last few years, there have been some hot brands. So could you go over some of the top brands in 2019 and what kinds of innovation we've seen before we go into the specifics of what favorites you have?
The top brand the last few years has been Brooks. I think an interesting company by the CEO's been there since 2001, which seems like you don't find that too often in many companies. And they've especially recently taken some big risks, I think, on changing some of their models. Sometimes shoe companies get stuck on, hey, this is working, and although customers will say, hey, they change this and I hate the new model every once in a while. It's generally like sort of incremental improvements, and they try not to screw something up that's already selling.
Right.
I think they've made some big changes recently that have paid off. I think have been good decisions for them. Nike, I think, has been the kind of innovation leader with their Breaking 2 attempt and the Vaporfly shoes that went along with that, and have been interesting to see. And then there's been a number of smaller brands coming along that are really doing well and making great shoes. Like the level of shoe that somebody has to make to be on our wall or to be in any shoe store is so much higher than 10 years ago.
Totally.
So I think we're in a great period for shoes.
Yeah, and you are an independent shoe store. I'm
correct. Thinking.
So that changes the nature of what you carry in your store. I know that. So let's talk a bit about favorite shoes, and let's start with some of the basic trainers, road running training shoes.
Sure, a couple different ones. One, and again, these are great for beginners. They're great for marathoners as well. New Balance makes one, the 880, that has it's the ninth version and it's kind of gotten better each time. The fit fits a wide range of people. The materials in the upper, the fabric, are nice and soft. It feels good on a easy day, and if you have a day you try to go a little faster, it doesn't feel clunky or heavy.
How much does
shoe,
it weigh?
One of the small brands. It is, I should have put weights down, but I believe it's like 10 and a half ounces.
So it's kind of in the mid range.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I think, the sort of standard. If they're over 11 now, they start feeling a little heavier.
Now, what do you think is the benefit of this particular shoe? What is really good about it?
You know, I think the fact that it fits so many people, mm-hmm. It's not going to cause, blisters. It's it provides support, but without really overcorrecting or undercorrecting. I feel like it's a good blend of flexibility and stiffness. So it's not, doesn't feel like your foot's trapped in there, but it's not like a sock and not providing any support.
Not sloppy.
Right.
Now, what is the price point on that one?
And that one is at $125.
Okay. And second choice for, or, you know, second idea for a road training run shoe.
Sure. So the next one, this is one of the smaller brands. It's Diadora. So they have kind of made a recent comeback. We also like them. Their U.S. headquarters are in Philly, so
nice.
I think they're the only brand to do that. And they have a new shoe, the Mythos 3, and it is not super light, but it's really well cushioned, has a softer feel that you don't seem to find in shoes too much anymore. Again, a great fit to it. Fits a wide range, so if you have a wider fit, I think it feels good. Leaves extra space in the toes. It's definitely a shoe that you like. People haven't heard of the brand, and we'll put it on and be like, wow, this feels great. Oh, thanks for bringing this out. I hadn't heard of it.
Mm-hmm. And what's the price point on that one?
And that one is 140.
140. And weight-wise, do you have an idea?
Yeah, that one is, I think, just over 11.
Oh, okay.
So it is, yeah.
So what do you think is the main benefit to that second road training shoe? Is it the padding? Is it the width?
Yeah, I think the padding on it is great. It's a mm-hmm. shoe, like I'll use it on, I use it for long runs, but I really like it on days where my legs feel beat up and I feel like I need to have a little something extra underneath me.
Now, how about trail running? Because trail running, at least out here in California, well, I'm in Mexico right now, but I'm a California girl. So trail running is so popular. Is that something that a lot of people are moving into in Philadelphia?
Yeah, surprisingly, Philly has this great trail system. Like you wouldn't think of it, but there's a place that's in not that far from the center of the city, and uh-huh. you could do a 20-mile trail run without wow. hitting the same trails, and it'll wow. be super hilly. And
Yeah.
So we've seen a lot of growth in trail running shoes recently, and in trail runners. I think you see a lot more ultra runners as well.
Indeed.
And the trails, I think, are a big part of that. So.
Yeah. So, what kind of trail runners? Maybe a couple of trail runners, but also some transition, because I know, that's an issue for people not having to buy shoes for
sure.
trails and then for roads. But sometimes, of course, there is really a purpose for having to change over to a real trail runner.
So this is where some of the smaller brands shine too. One of them that we really like, the Ultra, is from Ultra, called the Lone Peak. And Ultra is known for making what's zero drop shoes. So the heel isn't higher than the forefoot. Most, mm-hmm. most shoes have a little bit higher heel. And sometimes that transition can cause, you work your calves maybe a little bit more. The brands will try to say it changes how you run, and it may or may not be true. I don't know. I'm not sure on that, but I know that changing to those shoes can be a problem. And if you're running on trails, I think it makes that adjustment really a lot easier, because when you're on trails, you're thinking a lot more where you plant your feet, you're on your forefoot. So this shoe really gives you great grip on the trails. Gives good protection as cushioning, so that if you are, like you said, you're transitioning where you're on the road sometimes and you're on the trails others, it's got enough cushioning for when you're on the road. And around us, we don't necessarily need that super serious where you need gaiters and which go around and kind of keep in your ankles and stuff, but it'll attach those without a problem. And I think helps make those makes you feel more secure on rough trails, and it's really a nice one.
Now, does Ultra make one that that has a bit of drop that would be a better transition type of shoe?
So all of Ultra shoes are zero drop.
Okay.
So their other feature that's nice and is nice on the trails too is a little bit wider toe box. So mm-hmm. they call it this true foot shape. Let your toes spread out a little bit more. I think you'll see that probably in more companies going forward as well.
Now, what's the price point for this Ultra, as well as if you have an idea of the weight?
And that one is 130, and is I think about 10.5 ounces as well.
And I'm sorry I didn't let you know ahead of time that I might be asking you about the weight, because I know that is a specific thing. And of course, it's also specific to the size. It's like, what is it, a size 10 or something for?
Yeah, and I'm also giving men's weights, which I know is sexist, but it generally to compare, when you're comparing each to each, we generally think of them in a men's size 9. But
yeah, as long as you're staying consistent, that's really
sure.
the thing. The price point is great, and the weight thing, then I have to give you a lot of leeway there, because you're just going from.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, please. I'll.
thank you also.
For your listeners, don't look those up. I'm not going to be exact.
Okay. So another trail runner that would be something either for transition or for some of us newbies getting into trail running.
Sure. One of them, the shoe that has been a bestseller for years is called the Brooks Cascade, and it really is a good shoe for that new person getting into it. It has a little bit more cushioning. This has the traditional heel to toe drop. It's a great fit on it. Great on the road. So if you're going to, you know, you need to run a mile or two to get to your trail.
Right.
It's totally fine covering that. Mm-hmm. And it's a Gore-Tex version if you need a waterproof one.
Ah, I was going to ask you about that actually, because you get snow in Philadelphia, right?
A little bit, yeah. Okay. Not a whole lot this year, but that's when we see, like, for Gore-Tex shoes or even trail shoes, mm-hmm. they make a great shoe in the snow. So if it's snowy or slushy, having a little bit better grip helps. And then also, if your feet get wet and it's a little windy, they're going to get cold. So the Gore-Tex will keep you a little warmer, keep you a little
that's
more comfortable on those runs.
On the other hand, it might be more uncomfortable in a desert environment, for example, because there's less breathability.
We usually say about 75 degrees. I'm not sure what Gore-Tex would say. They say it's very breathable, but you know, if you're walking around on them, it's fine. If you're working out on them or on a treadmill, your feet tend to get hotter. I think it's you're in contact with the ground more. So Gore-Tex shoes on the treadmill tend to be not what you want.
And what about the weight and the price point on this Brooks Cascade?
So that one is 130, and it is close to 12 ounces. I think it's 11.9.
So that's relatively heavy.
So it's relatively heavy, but you do get a little bit more protection underneath you.
Yeah. And what about ankle protection on these trail running shoes? Is there a difference there? I know you talked about gaiters earlier, which is, of course, another feature. They don't come with gaiters, though, right? They come with some way of attaching a gaiter. Is that true?
Right. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. You can add the gaiter yourself to keep debris out. Mm-hmm. And then for, like, say, protection for rolling your ankles, trail shoes in general tend to be a little bit firmer than a road shoe. So, you have a little bit more side to side protection if you're going, leaping out of the way of stuff.
Right. Now I do have a question about, running on roads with a trail shoe. Is it just tending to be a little bit heavier? Would that be the only main difference, or is it really advisable not to use a trail shoe for a road?
It mostly is that it's going to be probably more shoe than you need. So it's going to be a little heavier, a little stiffer, mm-hmm. and generally not quite as cushioned or not typically a little stiffer as well.
So Altra and Brooks, two like completely different at the spectrum of brand. Yep. Brooks has been around forever.
Yeah. Yep. One more to throw in, which is has been my favorite recently.
Okay,
is from Hoka. So Hoka, similar to Altra, has that sort of a little lower heel, not the zero drop that that Hoka has. The shoe I like from them is called the Torrent. It's a new model. It's very lightweight, so especially for a trail shoe, it's at 9 ounces.
Wow!
Which we mentioned that racing shoe I used to run the marathons on, the Brooks Racer ST. I think. So it was very close.
Yeah,
close to this one.
Nice.
This has a 5 millimeter heel to toe drop. So standard would be 10, and that Ultra is at 0. So you get that in between mark. But this has a real very low to the ground feel. So it feels very quick if you're running where there's a lot of rocks and you need to make sure you're moving your feet a little quicker and not getting tripped over roots or anything. Feels very agile. I wear them, especially in the winter here, kind of walking around a lot, and the grip on it is great. Sometimes on pavement, you almost feel like it could almost be a little too much grip.
Wow. 9 ounces. That's pretty amazing. So it's going up and especially coming down on trails, it works really well for that, huh?
Yeah, it works great for it. Really, you give up a little bit of the cushioning. So this is one I wouldn't use on pavement quite as much. Mm-hmm. But if you're on trails that are going to be a little softer, and again, the way you run on trails, you sort of don't need as much cushioning because you're not, I'm a heavy heel striker, and on the trails, you're not coming down hard on your heels as much because you kind of need to plant your feet a little differently. And
totally.
If you're going uphill and downhill, and then that one's at 120, so it's a nice price point.
Wow. Yeah, that's really, sounds like a good shoe overall.
Yeah.
How about racing flats, both for road and for trail? I know there's got to be quite a difference in what's best for racing on a road versus best for racing on a trail.
Right. So that Torrent is one I would say is a great trail racing shoe.
Nice.
I think at that level, and it again feels very quick and light, and you know the lugs have good grip, but don't get in the way when you're running. Mm-hmm. For the road, this is one of the areas I feel like is the kind of been the most exciting. And I mentioned earlier the Nike Vaporfly, which is not the shoe I'm going to recommend, but it's sort of based off that. They make a shoe called the Pegasus Turbo.
Okay.
And it uses the same foam that they used in that Vaporfly shoe. So the Pegasus Turbo feels a bit more cushioned. So I think it opens it up for a lot more people to be able to wear it. So the I think the average marathoner would benefit from it and be have it. It's probably one of the shoes I've been most excited about recently. It makes it definitely feel, put it on and run in it, and you just feel faster in it.
Wow. And weight-wise, what are we talking about?
And that one is 8 ounces.
Ooh, nice.
So it's light, but it feels much more cushioned than that. So you kind of don't feel like you're totally loose. You know, generally in a racing flat, you feel like you're really giving something up and maybe risking getting injured from him. And
right.
In that shoe, I think you don't feel that way. You still feel protected. And
nice.
Yeah.
Now, would you recommend that for shorter distances or do you, and I'm talking road races. So 5K,
sure.
10K, half marathons.
Yeah, marathons. Absolutely.
Yeah. That one's still good. How about another one that would either be more specific to a shorter race or that would be more specific to a marathon or even a longer road race?
Sure. The New Balance 1400 is one that's going to give you that stripped down feel that I was talking about, so that you feel like you really are in a little bit less shoe, but gives you a quick feel. I think it's great for 5K, 10K, up to half marathon for somebody who's pretty efficient. I know there's definitely people that can run a marathon in it. I think I would want a little bit more shoe.
Gotcha.
It's also only $100, so it's a good price for that racing flat that you're adding on another shoe, as opposed to something you're training in every day.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to go back onto the Pegasus, but we didn't get a price on that. So what would
that one is a little bit more. It's at $180.
$180, okay.
But when you look at the Vaporfly is $250 so. Makes the 180 seem like you're getting a lot of those benefits for a little bit less money.
Wow. Now, how long has this Pegasus Turbo been out?
It's been, I guess it's about 6 months.
Oh, okay. Quite
so
new.
Very new. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they had a sort of limited release and then have put some more out recently.
And the New Balance 1400 is a really light shoe. What is the weight on it?
And that one is... I can tell you 7 ounces, so 7.1.
Wow. Wow. That can make such a difference. We're going to be having Jay Desherry on to talk about foot control, I think is kind of what his highlight is. And that seems to me like that's a big part of wearing these light shoes is actually having a foot that's strong enough and flexible enough to be able to handle, you know, pretty much you are really just barely above barefoot running when you've got such a light shoe like that.
Right. Right. It really is. And I think these are shoes you'd want to do a workout in once in a while. So you wouldn't want to just put them on race day and only wear them then. I think wearing them occasionally to help build that foot strength up is good.
Makes a lot of sense.
I find, and I talked to a doctor recently who does a lot of VO2 max testing, who feels there's a certain pace for people where this makes more sense, where you're more efficient. So if I'm doing a slower, easier run, I think these shoes feel terrible. Like it's just not enough shoe. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I'm running faster, it feels underneath you like you have enough shoe underneath you.
That makes sense. And that also means then that you've got to train to be able to handle a certain kind of racing shoe.
Sure. Yep. And what's fast is by person. So it's, when you're just trying to go a little bit quicker, I think that, you know, whether that's from, that could be from 12-minute pace to 10-minute pace. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily, you know, running a 4-minute mile or something.
Right, right. Now, what about some trail racing shoes?
So in addition to that Torrent, Nike makes a great shoe called the Kyger. It has their sort of Zoom Air in it. I'll have to look up the weight for you on that one, but it has a little bouncier feel than some of the others. So I think it gives you that, quicker feel that you're looking for on the trails. That's one that I feel like if you're on the road, it still has, because that bouncier air. So if you're in a race that's got a mix of trail and some road stuff, still mm-hmm. feels really quick and bouncy and responsive when you're on the roads there.
And for distance on that trail running, how far could you run on a trail with this shoe and have your feet get away with it?
I think you could run, as I go to pretty far on that shoe, I'm thinking marathon distance, but I know uh-huh. a lot of those trail runners are going longer and longer distances. So I think you could do almost any distance in that one.
Really?
Yeah. And it's a little under 10 ounces. So it's at 9.7. So it's,
pretty
light. It's pretty light. It's not, versus the road racing shoes. It's going to be a little bit heavier.
Right.
But you want to have a little bit more protection.
I would think so. I mean, you generally wouldn't be going quite as fast on a trail as
right.
on a road. And so different considerations really.
Yep. Yeah, different considerations. And those they could be the same distance, but the trail race could take you twice as long. So some of it's time on your feet. So
yeah, and usually there's some walking in there too. Almost.
Yeah, yeah.
At least for me.
I just heard an ultra tip that I thought was great. That said, you shouldn't pick a flat one because you're going to want to do some walking, and the hills give you like an excuse to. Oh, I'm going to walk the hill,
Oh, I like
whereas
that.
If you're on a, yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Now, what's the price point on this Nike Kyger?
And the Kyger is $125.
And is that spelled K-I-G-E-R?
It is.
Okay, good. That was a guess. I don't know about that shoe. I don't think that I gave you this information ahead of time, but I figured you would be able to either say what shoes you run in now or personal favorites just that would fit into any category. If you have a couple of those that you'd want to share, that would be great.
Sure. I'm very blessed to get to run in a lot of different shoes. So the ones I've mentioned, that Pegasus Turbo has been a favorite. One that just came out just last week is Swiss company called On, and they came out with a shoe called the Cloud Swift. They have a interesting cushioning that's sort of these pods underneath that kind of move with you as you go, so it kind of gives you some more energy return. And their new shoe, I think, looks more curved than some other shoes, rocker almost to it, but it's a road shoe, mm-hmm. And very kind of responsive feel to it. So
nice.
Yeah. Cushion bouncy.
It's a training shoe, right?
It's a training shoe. Yep.
And what weight and basic price made you, might've gotten it before it's even on the general market.
Sure. Yeah. It is out now. It's at 150. Okay. I think it's just over 10 ounces. So it's on the lighter side.
Okay. And you've tried it out and you liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've gotten a number of runs in it.
This is one of the benefits of my talking to someone like you who gets to try a lot of shoes, because I think obviously each runner is different, but to hear, to hear some personal experiences with some of these different shoes really helps us maybe to narrow it down a bit.
Yeah. And it really is important to try stuff on, because everybody is so different. I'd mentioned to you, I've been listening to some of the nutrition podcasts and a lot of people do mention everyone is different and reacts to something that's different. A shoe that one person says feels really soft, another person will say it feels really firm. So it's really important to try stuff on.
I agree. And I also think coming into a running store where people are both enthusiastic and are also specialized in being able to help
yeah.
with shoes, it makes a huge difference because you don't know what you don't know. So if somebody else right. knows for you and can ask you some good questions, that can make a big difference.
Yeah, it definitely is. And you know, if you go into a run specialty shop, the people there are all, they're so into the shoes. They've tried everything on. They can definitely sympathize with you and make it find you something good to run in.
Yeah, I have, and I've worked in several running stores, and I have never been in a store that told us to push a shoe just because it was the company that they were representing right. or whatever. And I've always really appreciated that because running shoes do have to fit the person's lifestyle, their size, their interests, you know, all of those things. So
yeah, no, that's so really important.
Sharing this. Any other shoes that you think deserve a mention?
Yeah, I'm going to throw out, this is a shoe that's been around, I think it's on the 22nd version from ASICS called the Nimbus. And I hadn't worn it for a long time, and I wore and been running in the current version. And I was thinking it was going to feel kind of, it's on the heavier side, it's a little over 11 ounces. I thought it was going to feel kind of clunky and older. And it actually feels really good and responsive. I mentioned in the beginning, Brooks taking some risks on some shoes, and they have changed where what's been called a stability shoe used to have a firmer material on the medial side to sort yeah. of give you a little bit more support for your arch.
Right.
And they've changed, they've taken that out and used this system they call their guide rails. So there's they could describe it better than me, it's sort of like a horseshoe that goes around on top of the midsole and keeps your foot from kind of going to either side. Mm-hmm. And they make a shoe with that called the Ravenna that is super lightweight. It's about 9 ounces, but again, has that little bit more support to it. So you get a lightweight shoe that's still very supportive, but doesn't feel like it's overcorrecting you. So I think on that technology side, they've done a good job there.
Yeah, and this is part of what you were talking about earlier with how technology is changing and
yeah.
things are getting even better and more refined, and some of the old styles are changing. They're evolving,
yeah.
which is, thank goodness.
Yeah. I got a chance to wear when I was in high school, there was a shoe I was like really wanted. I remember as a freshman in high school, this ASICS Gel Light 3, uh-huh. and they released it as a casual like throwback shoe a few years ago, uh-huh. and I was all excited to get it, and I put it on, and I thought, how was I going to run in this? Like shoes have really come so far. And it was still a nice shoe; I wore them around, but
yeah.
But oh yeah, I guess it's tough to go back to those shoes and running in a cotton long sleeve shirt all the
wow.
time.
So. You're telling me. I ran my first yeah. marathon, you know, it was in the 70s, so that was a while yeah. back, and I was wearing Keds, and
oh, yeah.
my feet were killing me by the end of the thing, and if I wasn't so young at the time, I'm sure I couldn't have finished
yeah.
the marathon period.
It's really, I started in, you know, in the 90s, and it was like, shoes kind of still at a break-in period, so like uh-huh. if you got a blister, it was like, oh, well, it'll, and now it's like, no, you should never get a blister. Like, that's the, you know, the shoes are really the fit initially. The shoe should feel as good as it's ever going to feel right away.
Like, yeah, they, I agree. You know. Well, is there anything else you want to share with us about shoes before we change gears?
I think just trying something on and finding what's comfortable and what works for you. Make, you know, if you're not stuck with the shoes for life, so you can if something doesn't work, you can get another pair the next time. Or, you know, I find the more you're running, switching between a couple shoes helps. So, you know, if you're marathon training, having a shoe wear on your long run and the next run you do, I think it feels good to have something else on your feet, just that your foot is in a little different position, and that's a good way too to transition and try out new shoes without dedicating yourself to it and maybe getting an injury from being in something that shouldn't be in.
Right. Wearing it out before you want to change, having a few different ones. I totally agree with you there. I think that sounds like a good
yeah.
philosophy, both in having a fresh pair of shoes for another day, but also being
sure.
able to let your foot kind of adjust to
yeah.
slightly different surfaces and
yep.
and fit.
Yeah. And we get asked a lot too with that, with how can you tell if it has, you know, when's the lifespan up, or can you tell? And you really can't by looking at it. We try to say it's when they're dirty, but I think, but if you try on another shoe that does have life in it, sometimes you can really feel like, oh yeah, that other shoe is, the other cushioning in the front of the shoe is shot or something like that. So.
I also wanted to share a super new app called Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist is an app that takes the best key takeaways and the need-to-know information from thousands of books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes. An hour run lets you listen to 3 to 4 books because you can skip all that fluff. To me, the feature that is the icing on the cake is that they offer both audio and text. You can listen to these books on a workout or a long drive, but that means when you hear something that you really want to remember, it's not easy to get back and find it. But with Blinkist, the ability to go easily back through the text means you can write down important things and take action. Blinkist can be a game changer for you in 2019 and will allow you to execute on that resolution to read more and maybe try some new and different genres. And right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to blinkist.com/runner to start your free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, blinkist.com/runner to start your free 7-day trial. blinkist.com/runner. Do you need a crash course to help you train smarter, nail your nutrition, and improve your strength? Or maybe you want to connect with runners who get you? Then you may be interested in one of our amazing running retreats. Our 4-day retreats offer you an intimate, informative, relaxing, and amazing running experience that's also affordable. You'll get expert one-on-one coaching from our team of coaches, run in amazing places, get strength training, stretching, and yoga sessions, and meet other passionate runners just like you. These retreats are not for elite runners. They are for runners like you who love running and just want to improve. Most of our attendees are between 45 to 70 years young and range in ability from Boston qualifiers to those who want to break 3 hours for the half marathon or those who are just getting started. This year, we have 2 retreats, one in the gorgeous mountains of North Carolina and the second on the beautiful shores of Portugal. Yes, we even have a retreat for our international audience. To see the dates, accommodations, prices, and all other details, head to runnersconnect.net/retreats. We hope you're able to join us for one of these amazing 4-day retreats. And we are back with Run to the Top podcast and guest Ross Martinson, who has shared a lot of information on 2019 shoes for all types and levels of running. We're just about finished and coming into the final kick. Ross, are you ready for the final kick?
I am.
Well, then let's move into this. We'll start with a favorite local training run.
Great. So Philly actually has a ton of great places to run. But I will give you my favorite is where there's always a lot of people to run with. We meet, the training group I have meets every Saturday morning at 8 at this place called Lloyd Hall. It's the first boathouse. Its address is 1 Boathouse Row. There's an 8.4 mile loop around the river in Philly there, or you could head out on paths and get 20-mile run in pretty easily. But I think what makes it great is that so many people meet there. It's really convenient. So you can always sort of find someone to run with.
Nice. So. And that's every week, rain or shine.
Yeah. Every Saturday. If it's raining, there might not be quite as many people out. But we'll, yeah. But we had 100 people out this past Saturday. So.
Nice. Okay. Recommended book, research, or video on running shoes, or including running shoes?
Sure. So put a lot of thought into this, and it was tough finding books on running shoes. I know Shoe Dog was already mentioned, but two I think great books that have been come out recently that talk a little bit about shoes and get you really inspired to run. The Incomplete Book of Running, Peter Sagal, the host of Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Right.
Yeah. I feel bad I missed him in our store, but the book was incredible. It's a short read and, you know, got me wanting to go out and pace in a marathon.
Nice.
And the other one is a local author, Jen Miller, has a book, Running a Love Story. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of her life kind of dating and running and stuff. It was really interesting.
Nice. All right. Oh, those sound like good, interesting, fun reading. Another person that you would recommend to speak on this subject?
Sure. And I feel like I know so many people in this industry, but the one I'm going to recommend is a fellow named Joe DeSalvo. He's a young guy, went to Drexel University, is in Philadelphia. And by the time he'd graduated from college, he not only designed his own running shoes, he'd made prototypes for a couple different ones that he could wear. He's now working for one of the brands we talked about. And I think we're going to see like some great shoes coming out of the works from him in the future.
Nice.
But I think he'd be great to talk to. So enthusiastic about shoes and very knowledgeable about, he would have known all the weights that I didn't know. So,
all right. So we are at this point basically out of time, except for giving contact information from you on how our audience can follow your running team's progress and your store's events, etc.
Sure. We've got philadelphiarunner.com or for our stores, and then teamphillyruns.com is our group coaching training group, and then on Instagram at @PhillyRun or at @TeamPhillyRuns.
Sounds good. Thanks again for sharing this information with us today, Ross. You and I had a few challenges getting this interview started, but I think we made it through those.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Great.
Good luck to you and Philadelphia Runner Stores. And thank you, our audience, for joining us for today's podcast at Run to the Top. You may follow us at the Runners Connect Winner Circle on Facebook by going to runnersconnect.net/F. Please subscribe to Run to the Top podcast at runnersconnect.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. You'll be notified every week when a new episode is published. And thank you, each of you, for listening. We'll be back next week with another great talk to entertain, educate, and inspire you as you head out on your running workout. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host with Run to the Top, wishing you a great week of fitness.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.